Hey, welcome to the 79th Womanthology podcast. My name is Fiona Tatton and I'll be your host. Womanthology is the digital, magazine and professional community powered by female energy and ingenuity. We champion equal recognition and award for everyone, sharing opportunities, ideas and a deep pool of collective wisdom, supporting each other to be unstoppable. In this episode, I'm joined by Professor Natalie Petarelli, co-founder of Soapbox Science. We'll be talking about the work Natalie's been doing alongside her co-founder, Professor Sirian Sumner, and also the work that Isla Watton is doing to coordinate the organisation of Soapbox Science events as they grow to an ever-increasing number around the world. I'll also be talking you through the new content in the written issue. A quick reminder that you sign up for the Womanthology newsletter by filling in your details on the front page of our website. That's womanthology.co.uk. You can also join our LinkedIn community by visiting linkedin.com/company/womanthology and find us on X, Instagram and Facebook. Welcome to the Womanthology podcast, and we have Professor Natalie Petarelli, and she is co-founder of an amazing initiative that, if you don't know, if you haven't heard of it already, where have you been? Because we've been talking about it for years. But Soapbox Science, I'm not meant to have favourite initiatives or favourite issues, but Natalie.
Thank you, Fiona. Very well, thank you. And I'm sure you say that to every other
initiative. I think it was Bruce Forsyth who said it to everybody, and he was like, "You're my favourite." No, you're my favourite. But I have such a soft spot for Soapbox Science because we've been doing Soapbox Science mashups now for almost 10 years.
Yeah, I would say 8 years, yes, because we started in 2011, but I think we got together around 2015 or 16, so yeah.
And the rest is history. A beautiful partnership emerged. So it is great to catch up with you. So this is our annual catch up now, isn't it? So could we get a quick recap of... who is Natalie Petarelli?
So I'm a researcher that work at the Zoological Society of London. And in 2010, a friend of mine and I, so Sirian Sumner, we were both working at ZSL.
So that's the Zoological Society of London.
Yes, and decided to create Low Frills, very simple event, where we put women and people that identify as women on soapboxes to talk about the science that they do. And we started in London. The idea behind that was twofold. One, to really get into science communication in a way that is more about a dialogue instead of talking at people, it's talking with people. And then the second one was to just address and change perception as to what a scientist look like. Because through our careers, through our own experience and background, what we have seen is that a lot of people don't think that women can do well in science, don't systematically encourage their kids to consider a career in science when they are girls. And so we started this in London, and then it grew organically. And then we started to have multiple events in the UK, and now we are at 16 plus countries, I believe, and in more or less every continent except Asia. Asia, where are you? But apart from that, I think we are everywhere else. And so it's a very low cost, very easy to set up everywhere. And then it creates community. It brings network of like-minded people together to hopefully change those stereotypes around women and science.
And what an amazing job. So where are we? 16 countries, did you say?
Yeah. So where are we this year? For example, we have 43 events. And we're going to Argentina, to Nigeria, Tanzania, Spain, Netherlands, of course, the UK, and then Canada, Brazil. Yeah, you name it. Well, there's still 100 and something to go, but
we're not going to stop until we've reached every country.
We do. Yeah, we really want to. So it's really a network of people that do that on top of their existing job, just for their passion for science, the diversity in science, but also science communication.
And shout out to Sirian, obviously, for being your co-founder. The two of you created the concept. And then I have to shout out to Isla.
coordinator extraordinaire. Honestly, I say this every year, but if somebody needed to take over the world, Isla would be your best resource because she's phenomenal, isn't she?
And she's absolutely phenomenal. And well, you have known her more or less since we recruited her. And she is not only reliable, but also extremely good at supporting all those events in countries where culture are different, language are different. And still, she's managing and coordinating all of that. So yes, we are extremely lucky to have Isla.
Oh yes, the powerhouse behind the scenes. I really like the different venues as well. So Central Park is
yes, this year we are in New York, which is really, really cool. So the idea is to go places where you don't expect scientists, because I think part of the stereotypes and the preconception is to think that scientists are in those very difficult to access places to do very important stuff in some kind with slides generally and tubes. And so here, what we're trying to do is really completely change that too and have conversation where people are. So in parks, on the beach, city centers, shopping mall, you name it, we've been there.
I love it. I'm just trying to slip along to the New York one, or maybe I should come to one nearer to home. Maybe I should do that. So just to explain to the audience, normally there's the May one, isn't there? Is the London one. And then there are different times of the year dependent on the seasons and various other things as well.
That's right. So this year, for example, it's going from May to September. So different country, different availability. We tend to start the season with London, but there has been moments where we started earlier than London. But yeah, if you miss one, you can go somewhere else to pick up on another one.
And sorry, I'm sneaking in an extra questions as well. In terms of the organization, so there'll be a local coordinator who yeah. is the person or the team on the ground who are setting everything up. But then there'll be speakers who are separate to their coordinators who then do their talk. And how long are the talks for?
So the speakers go on their subboxes for an hour generally. And the wow. events are through around 3 hour events. So you have four speakers within 1 hour, meaning that the audience can move, come back, stay, do however they please. In terms of number of people involved in this initiative, so if you take this year, 43 events, we are talking over 500 speakers. And then in the local team, you can expect at least two people, but more like between around five for the local organization. And then you top on that with the volunteers, which are around 10 to 20. So what you're really looking is way more over 1,000 people involved with subboxes just this year.
Wow. And it's that nice community feel to it as well. So there's a selection process where people have to put in and say, I would like to talk about this. And then there's a process with that to find the ones with the best fit to the format.
So there's multiple ways to do it. So everything is transparent. So you have to apply to be part of it. And so what we do is that we have two calls, one for the speakers and one for the volunteer. In terms of the speakers, what we're really trying to do is to maximize diversity of local universities participating in the event. And so for London, for example, we're going to get businesses, we're going to get universities, but also research centers, sometimes scientists in NGOs. And so what we're trying is to have a selection of 12 that really capture as much as possible this diversity of organization, of background, of ethnicity, and also of seniority. So really to have as much diversity as possible. And then when we have the call for volunteers, here what we tend to do is to take on everyone, unless we got 100, but we never did. And then what we're trying to do is generally those volunteers are early career and students. And so we're trying to match them up with more senior scientists, such as those on the subboxes, so that they can develop their network and also chat and just participate and have a fun day out.
Yeah. And I ran an event in London at the end of February at Lloyd's of London, and I met some amazing contributors, mainly from last year's issue. It was lovely in a slightly different context to meet up with the people that I've spoken to over email and I've interviewed over email and things like that.
Well, so one thing we did this year, which is being launched this Friday, the 24th of May, is we did a big report where we took all our speakers, so that's from 2011 to the end of last year. So that's over 2,700 scientists. And then we did a huge survey to try to understand the impact that taking part in subbox science has on their career and on them. And so it was really nice to see how it can impact the visibility of their work, the reach of their work, but also their communication skills, their sometimes funding opportunity. We had some speakers saying how just coming on a soapbox and having someone in the audience working in their field suddenly gave them access to some funding to their research. So we try to capture that. But yes, because we have been going on for so long, we're talking of an enormous community. And so it's possible now to track what's the impact on the audience. We've done that before to try to see how people, what do they take out of this? But looking at what's the take on the speaker was particularly fun this year.
Yeah. And I think when you hear the stories, even if you just take one person's story and they'll be like, yeah, this opportunity came up. And then the ripple effect of that across all of these people is just absolutely phenomenal. And then the audience side of things as well. Tell us a bit about the format. So it's nice and informal, isn't it? It's making things accessible.
So people will bring along all these props to demonstrate their science. I think we were speaking last year about a life-size cow.
Yeah, it's the idea. So it's a free event outside, right? So it's completely without any PowerPoint, without electricity, without anything. And the idea is to try to explain what you do in a way that is quite fun. And we have a lot of kids also. So we have had everything. I mean, we had trampolines, we have Lego, we have, yes, a variety of toys. But also some people come with nothing and that have a huge, huge impact. I remember one speaker in London getting everyone to dance the Macarena just to demonstrate coordination and how your brain works. And it was really fun. So also we know that different people like different topics. So generally you will have within an hour a physicist, a chemist, a technology person, maybe some medical research, whatever. But we try to have different topics so that people can move around. And some people get stuck with one talk, some people will move. So it's a very free, non-constraining event because you can go at any point. You're not seated, you're not moving on anything. You just decide to stay, which is what we really like.
Yeah, you get captivated by the science.
Yes. And there's multiple things you take on, but hopefully it got you to think about something or to want to know more about something. And I think it's about inspiration, both in terms of what these women do, but also into how they got there.
And the crossover with different areas as well. So before I started doing womanthology, I thought science was physics, chemistry, biology, and that was it. But in reality, there's such an overlap with so many different areas, isn't there? So it's a really good illustration of women in STEM more broadly, where you'll have an engineer or somebody with a tech job, for argument's sake.
Yes. This year in London, for example, we have someone that's going to talk about digital security and technology and focusing on public spaces. We had radio imagery, we have all the medical, so it can go all kind of ways. We're trying to cover the whole science, technology, engineering, mathematics and medicine spectrum.
Well, we like it. We like it a lot. So Natalie, how can the womanthology community get involved and support?
Well, so of course, attending an event would be fantastic. We have events in Belfast, in Bradford, Brighton, Edinburgh, Exeter, Liverpool, London, Milton Keynes, Nottingham and York. And all the dates and the venue are on soapboxscience.org. If you're yourself a woman or someone that identifies as a woman in science, then please apply to be a speaker next year or a volunteer. We have so many stories of people that applied first to be a volunteer, then became a speaker, and now are the local organizing team head, getting a soapbox in the area. If you are interested in bringing soapbox to your city, also drop us an email. So I think, yeah, we're really interested in always chatting if people have ideas. So reach out. We're on Twitter, on Facebook. We have a website and a contact address, so quite easily accessible.
You could bring it to a city or a town near you. So there we go, throwing down the gauntlet. We need to get around the rest of the countries as well. So any other international listeners we've got as well, then we need to do that. And for companies, so if there might be any corporates who might be listening, how might they support what you do? Is there an opportunity for people to sponsor, for argument's sake?
Well, I think so, because we have this idea of bringing scientists locally to local people, I think particularly for companies that have a strong local foothold, contact your local team if you have one. If you haven't, contact us and try to set up a team in your area so that we can talk about what's happening in that town. And I'm sure that many companies have development teams and scientists. They employ scientists themselves, which could be on those soapboxes. And really get behind your local community, because you, as well as that local community, could benefit from attracting the best brain and those innovators, the next generation, to tackle all the challenges that we have to face, being in the middle of an environmental crisis, for example. So really getting those next generation to consider a career in STEM is good for all of us. And so the costs that we have are really linked to hiring a venue or getting those props. So we don't cost much, but a bit of support can always help bring a new event in a new places. So yeah, get in touch.
And what's going on with the Zoological Society of London? Because the planet is needing your attention. You're fixing a lot. Give us a bit of an update on what's going on there.
Well, yeah, the scientific community is really in need of all those underrepresented backgrounds. We do need diversity to address the biodiversity crisis. So I think all domain of science are really busy right now, because we do need a lot of innovation to tackle all the crises we're facing, whether it's the climate change, whether it's the nature crisis, whether it's discussion around how to use our land, for example. So I think ZSL, like many scientific organizations, are really busy trying to develop solutions and help people. So for the moment, we're not running out of work.
Well, no, there's a lot for you to tackle, and you're tackling a lot of things. And what is coming up next for you, Natalie? What are you looking forward to? Do you get to have a holiday at any point in time? Because you're so busy saving the planet and organising Soapbox as well. Get to have a break at any point?
Yeah, no, of course I do. I have a family that brings me back to Earth every day, every morning and every night. We are going on holiday to Wales, generally in the summer, enjoying the beautiful coastline and nature. There's a beautiful nature in Wales. So I'm looking forward to that.
And isn't there a coastal path that runs the whole length of Wales? I'm not suggesting that you should walk the whole length of Wales, by the way.
Yes, they do, but my 6-year-old's going to kill me.
Yeah, we'll not make you do the whole thing, because I think that probably would.
No, not this year.
Thank you so much. It's been the greatest pleasure as ever, our yearly catch-up, Natalie. Pleasure speaking with you, and all the very, very best for Soapbox 2024. We will be spreading the word and sharing the love, and just keep doing what you're doing, and all the very best to Sarian and to Isla as well. And thank you, and to all the speakers and the organisers.
Thank you so much, Fiona, for having us.
In this section of the show, we hear about the contributors who have shared their stories in the new written issue. The stories include Dr. Rathirum, Ramachandra, Kurup, Sasikala, assistant professor in formulation science at the University of Bradford, discusses having taken part in Soapbox Science in Nottingham as a speaker in 2022, after which she decided to organise the first ever Soapbox Science event in Bradford alongside her colleagues for 2024. Dr. Jennifer Lennon is a biology researcher at New York University, and she discusses helping to organise Soapbox Science taking a bite of the Big Apple for the first time in Central Park to showcase dynamic women in science. Dr. Gitanjali Poddar, postdoctoral researcher in particle physics at Queen Mary University of London, delved into the contents of her recent Soapbox Science talk in London, where she discussed how accelerating protons and lead ions to high speed and smashing them together expands our knowledge of particle physics. And finally, Dr. Elena Cuestra Fidalgo, a theropod paleontologist, discusses bridging the gap between movie magic and real science, and how her entire career was inspired by watching the film Jurassic Park as a child. She will share details of her work and her up-and-coming Soapbox Science talk in Munich. Do check out our website, womanthology.co.uk, to read the full stories. Sadly, that's all we have time for this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, if you want to support what we do, then share the link for the show on social media and also follow the show. Your feedback is really important, so please do rate and review the show in your podcast app. Join us in the next episode and written issue, where we mark this year's International Women in Engineering Day.